Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes. David.
Thomas.
Let's just say that you're Marty McFly, and you had a DeLorean, and you could get that said DeLorean up to 88 miles per hour with 1.38 gigajoules or gigahertz or whatever it was. And you could go all the way back to 2005.
2005? You mean like 20 years ago?
20 years ago.
Wow.
Let's just say that you could go back to churches 20 years ago. I wonder how we might would compare Baptist churches from 20 years ago to Baptist churches today.
Wow. Okay. So in our comparison of Baptist churches 20 years ago to Baptist churches today, what are we going to be looking at? Just the regular Sunday morning worship service?
I think that's what we need to do.
Okay.
I think we need to think about Sunday morning worship service.
Gotcha.
And the differences. I guess if they're bad or good or whatever they may be. And that is speculative.
Yeah, sure, it is. It is.
And it's based upon opinion.
Yeah, but our opinions are always right. So.
Mine and yours, yes.
Yeah.
They're always right in this room.
Everybody agrees with us in here.
Oh, well, the people who listen, which is only my mom.
And my mom.
Your mom. Yeah. And one deacon now from Ingomar. They might have different opinions.
Yeah.
Well,
hey,
my mom's going to agree with me.
My mom would be too. But I tell everybody who disagrees with me, they have the right to be wrong. It goes for our podcast listeners as well. All right, so Thomas, as we're thinking about 20 years ago, Sunday morning worship services, let's start with some potential downgrades. Like, you know, and we're just thinking about modern versus 20 years ago in the past. And of course, everyone looks through rose-colored glasses when you look back at the past. But I do think there are some legitimate things that were better in 05. I think there are some things in church worship, church services today that are not upgrades, but are downgrades. What do you think?
All right. I think, you know, just what would definitely be better maybe in 2005 compared to today, and we'll talk about some of the more controversial ones in a moment, but what would be definitely better would be the attendance.
Yeah.
I think attendance in 2005 is going to be better than it is today.
Yes, that is correct.
I think in the number of people who are probably attending church, but also in the frequency of their attendance too. I think in just the overall number, you got to remember in 2005, that's just a few short years removed from September 11th, 2001.
That's right.
When many people flocked back to church because they were scared, they were afraid, and they can find a sense of answers and comfort in church. But today, I don't think many people come as they did in 2005 from the, you know, kind of population, percentage population. But then the frequency is way different too.
That is correct. If you're a listener of this podcast, and if you knew your numbers, the numbers of your church from 2005, let's say your church ran 100 on a Sunday morning in 2005, and today you're at 110, you might try to easily discount what we're saying, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about average worship attendance of your one specific church from 20 years ago versus the specific church average attendance today. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about in general. And I agree with you, Thomas. The average American church attendance or church attendance of Americans has decreased over the last 20 years. And then I believe the frequency has decreased as well. Just a couple of staff meetings ago at First Baptist in Otavia, their executive pastor, Alan Winstead, mentioned a statistic that I found eye-opening. I don't know where he read this or where he heard this, but he said something like this: a family should be considered regular attenders if they attend once a month.
I read that too.
Once a month. So, and you, so yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't remember where I read it, but I do remember reading it, and it was about 2 to 3 weeks or maybe even 2 months ago, up towards of 2 months ago. This is August of 2025 right now while we're recording this. So I have read that too.
Yeah.
And I think I see that. I've joked for a long time when I was the pastor at Holly. And even here, I kind of joke around with this idea that we have an A group and a B group. Mm-hmm. And the A group doesn't attend on the B group Sunday because if they did, we wouldn't all know where to sit. But
we'll be here on first and third. You can hunt this pew on second and fourth. Yeah, that's so funny.
But in a sense, there's some truth to that. Yeah. I really began to notice it at Holly in the Sunday school department, because if we had everybody come for Sunday school, we would have record Sunday school. Mm-hmm. But then like one day, 1 week, this one family would come.
Yeah.
But the other family wouldn't come.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, maybe every 6 weeks or something like that, they would all show up to that same Sunday and it would be packed.
Yeah. That is right. So, you know, the difference in 05, if there was a family that only attended once a month, they would be on the evangelism list. Not to go out and do evangelism, but to be evangelized. Those people ain't even saved. They're just coming once a month to church. Let's go knock on their door. They're supposed to be here 3 times a week.
They would be on the prospect list.
Yes, that's right. And nowadays, we nominate them for deacons, man. that dude's come twice since Easter. Let's get him teaching a Sunday school class. Oh, that hurts.
We're laughing because we'd start crying otherwise. All right, we got to rein this in.
Others get to laugh along with us. You know, we used to just have phone conversations. We would laugh and talk like this. But now we get to join all of our listeners.
All right. The second thing that's on her list we're considering downgrade would be probably tithing and giving. Yeah. Not only the amount, but also probably the frequency. Yeah. And again, this would probably be a little bit of an opinion of how a person gives, right?
That is correct. 20 years ago, man, you either brought cash and you put it in a little pink envelope, or you paid with a check, something like that. But now, electronic giving. We don't give electronically, but there are many who give electronically.
Definitely a big change would be the online giving. There's a lot of online giving that happens today from somebody's house or from their office or from their phone. And we don't have that moment of actually giving in front of people. So some people would say there's less
accountability
in online giving than giving in person, like almost everybody did in 2005.
Well, you know, Thomas, in 2005, every church that I knew passed the offering plate. There were maybe some that had a little offering drop slot, maybe in a closet that went to a safe area or maybe even an office, church office area. But everybody passed the offering plate. But today, 2025, many churches do not.
Yeah. And I would say in 2005, you were probably on the cutting edge if you started taking up the offering at the end of the service instead of the middle of the service.
That is right. Yeah.
And many churches today, you know, do take up the offering at the end of the service compared to the middle of the service.
Yeah. Have you ever served a church that took it up at the end of the service?
Yes, we did at Holly.
Oh, I got you.
At Holly, we took up the offering at the end of the service, and I really love that.
I got you. Okay. So I've never served in a church that did that. I've been a part of a church or two. I know whenever you were at Holly, I preached there, I think at least once, you know, and so I thought that y'all guys did that there, but I've never.
What it did is it helped us with the flow of worship and move down at a good pace from the beginning of the service to that time of preaching. And then we did the offering and announcements at the end of the service. Oh, it just kind of helps us with that order of service.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, Thomas, something else that's changed since 05 maybe is the way people dress. You ever thought about that?
Yeah, I would say that's a big difference. You know, I would say in 2005, the way people dress would probably be, especially in our context of where we're, you know, serving, you have people who would have worn their very best. Their Sunday best. They would have wore their Sunday best on church day, especially for that Sunday morning service. So for ladies, it would have been dresses or like those kind of suit kind of looking things.
Yeah, pantsuit that Hillary Clinton made popular. Oh, yeah.
That's right, the pantsuit. And for many men, you're thinking probably slacks, maybe a button-down shirt, a polo, and probably still in 2005, quite a few people wearing men wearing ties.
That's right. Coat and tie, maybe even suit and tie. That is right.
But it's not uncommon today to see in 2025 that people wear blue jeans.
Yeah.
That they wear sneakers.
Sure.
They wear maybe even a t-shirt that's untucked or something like that. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
No.
Now, some people would say, well, it's definitely a downgrade. I don't think necessarily it's a downgrade, especially if it's not an attitude or a heart problem, and if it's just something that's what they feel comfortable in. I would rather a person be at church in any kind of decent clothing compared to not being at church because they can't afford or don't have Sunday best in that sense.
Yeah, I completely agree. So yeah, that's not really a downgrade, but it is a difference. It is a difference.
All right, what about attitude when it comes to worship? Do you think that people's attitude has changed from 2005 to 2025?
I think so. I may be wrong, but I think in 2025, we, the general population, has more of a me-centered attitude. I think it's Dave Ramsey who says it best, talking about finances. What does he say? We're trying to teach you to be a slow cooker, a crock pot, and a microwave society. And so I think the microwave society has even bled over to our worship services. And I think we want what we want, and we want it right now. Whether it's worship style, as in contemporary versus traditional, whether it's preaching style, whether it's more expository or less expository, I want what I want. And if I don't get what I want, then I'm just going to take my toys and go to another sandbox is kind of the idea.
Oh, yeah. So that me-centered type of attitude.
Yeah.
Would you see more children running in the sanctuary in 2005 or in 2025?
2025.
Would you find more coffee cups in 2005 or 2025?
2025. Yes, definitely. I hadn't even thought about that. You're right.
We're not saying in this moment that it's right or wrong. We're just saying that there is a difference. And I think almost every church and every community has probably experienced in some way this happened. Why is that? Because our culture has changed. Yeah. It used to be that a banker wore a suit every day to the bank.
Every day.
And now you can go to many banks around our area.
Yeah.
Our area of North Mississippi, and you can find bankers who are not wearing suits. They don't have ties and stuff on anymore because there's been this casual movement in our society and in our culture.
Yeah.
Since probably 2000, 2005.
You know what's interesting? You and I just had lunch. We're recording this podcast after lunch. You and I just had lunch. There were five of us together. Three at the table had their earned doctorates. Two were professional businessmen who joined us for lunch. Nobody was wearing a tie. Nobody was wearing a coat. Some were wearing blue jeans. Some were wearing slacks. And nobody griped and complained about the difference in the last 20 years in dress change.
Well, one of those guys has a PharmD. He has a doctorate of pharmacy.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. So
so there was four doctors around the table and none of us had. And just think about that. He's a pharmacist. And many times, if you would have went into your pharmacy 20 years ago,
absolutely,
they probably would have been wearing a suit and tie.
That's right, a suit and tie, or at least the suit coat might have been hung up on a.
But they're going to have a tie and a lab coat or something like that. And so we've seen a bit of a movement in our culture to casualize
Yeah.
The settings, whether it be in the workplace or whether it be in the worship place. And we're not necessarily saying it's bad or good, but some people are definitely going to consider it a downgrade.
Some will. You're right about that.
And I'm not sure we can necessarily argue that it is a downgrade or not a downgrade. If people are coming to the worship service, I don't think we should just say, well, anybody come, do whatever you want to do. I think there still should be a moment of reverence that those people join in sure. with. Sure. But they can be reverent and wear blue jeans.
That's right.
They can be reverent and have a coffee cup in their hand.
Yeah.
Oh, just let me ask you this. Yeah. What's y'all's policy on food and drink?
So just recently, there was an older gentleman who came to me and said, I don't want there to be any food or drink in the sanctuary. And I said, I completely disagree with you. And he said, why? I said, I think the Lord's Supper is an observation that we need to continue doing. And he said, what? I said, that's food and drink. Well, that's not what I meant. I said, listen, you just said no food and drink in the sanctuary. And I said, we're going to keep observing the Lord's Supper. I mean, coffee. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're not going to do away with that. So, yeah. So we do not have, I think in past years, First Baptist probably had some type of ordinance, but we do not. We're so thankful people are coming.
I know at our church, there have been times in the recent past where there is announcement been made, something like that. Please limit your food and drink in the sanctuary. But if you need any necessities for your children, then by all means, bring them in. That's more than welcome. But I think we're going to see as time goes on that there's more food and drink in the sanctuary, because it is a moment when you got a bunch of people in one place. And especially, what about diabetic?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was sitting here thinking. I are one.
So you are one.
I are one. But, you know, my sugar never drops. Man, it's always too high. But for those who...
You're too sweet.
I'm way too sweet. That's what my wife tells me all the time. So, but yes. Yeah, that is.
All right. So we've talked about some differences when it comes to the church from 2005 to 2025. We talked about maybe downgrades, or what some people would call some downgrades. Yeah. Let's spend the rest of our time. Let's talk about the good stuff. Okay. Yeah. What's some good things? What's some good changes that have happened since 2005 to 2025?
Technology. I think technology.
Definitely.
Whenever I think of technology, the technological differences, I think of the screens in worship. Whenever in 2005, I'm going to say more churches, a lot more churches, you looked at a hymn book, your face was down, your head was down, and you're not looking up. And the singing, in my opinion, is so much better when the words, the lyrics of the songs are on the screen, and you can look up and you can see the worship leader, and you can see the screen very close to the worship leader, and your singing, congregational singing, is better.
Sometimes people would make the argument, well, it's better to hold a hymn book in your hand and to sing with the hymn book than to sing with the screens. Yeah. But then they wouldn't want their preacher to read from a sermon.
No. Oh, yeah, you're right, because that ain't spirit led. Yeah,
that's right. But the whole idea, you know, and what I'm thinking right now is, well, their head is down and instead of their head being up looking.
Yeah.
Their head is down. And of course, you think about the throat and the way it's designed. You wouldn't be able to sing properly just looking down the whole time. So that screen is a blessing. I put my points up there, like my sermon points. I have them on the screen for people to write down if they want to.
Or put our secondary passages up there. We want you to turn in your Bible to the primary passage, but then all secondary passages and verses are up on the screen so people can read along as I...
So I want to hit two of them really quickly, and that would be the sound system. Like, our sound systems today are so much better than they used to be in 2005. Most churches, especially churches that have redesigned their sound, are probably using a digital board, and that digital board gives so many more features that it would have been studio-type quality before. Now you can buy it cheaply, throw it up there in a booth, and you're getting studio sound quality from a board. And then on top of that, you think about in 2005, you might not have many churches that had hearing devices for people who are hearing impaired. And I mean, this is word-based ministry. People need to hear the word of God. Right. And if they can't hear the word of God, then you got a problem. So sound systems, hearing devices,
absolutely,
big changes.
Absolutely. Thomas, do you remember that thing in 2020 called COVID? Remember that?
I don't really remember. Well, I may have slept through 2020.
It was a pandemic thing. No, you wasn't asleep. I remember what you were doing. You were helping your friend out over in Fulton, Mississippi, as every church went to live streaming.
Oh, I do remember that.
We didn't have a clue what to do. My wife all of a sudden became the lead technician at Trinity Baptist Church on live streaming our services, and you helped us out tremendously. And live streaming is a technological improvement over the past 20 years.
Definitely so. And churches like Ingomar that we're at right now, Holly, where I was in 2020, those churches have continued to do that. Most churches that began it have continued to do it because they've seen the benefit of it. There are many of the shut-ins of our church that are still regularly watching and feel like they are a part of Ingomar Baptist Church because of live streaming. David, some people would say, you know, when you look at 2005 to 2025, that they would, in a sense, say they're thinking about nostalgia and being nostalgic, and they would say there's nothing good that has happened in those 20 years in the Sunday morning worship. And I think we could argue and say, no, there's been a bunch of good things that have happened. There have been some things that we might not like.
Yeah.
But definitely some really good things that have happened in those 20 years.
Thomas, you're right about that. And I really enjoyed our journey back to 2005. And who knows, the Lord may allow us to still be preaching and recording podcasts 20 years from now. And I bet there'll be some changes that will happen over the next 20 years. So if you will, join us next time on the Ministry Marks podcast team.